Hello and welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast. I am your host, Emil Emiliano Fragoso, beat writer covering the San Francisco 49ers for Sacktown Sports 1140 here on SacktownSports.com as well as our website. And of course, joining me today is my producer extraordinaire, my co-host, my colleague, my friend, not enough adjectives to describe him, Nate Littlefield, my guy. Nate, how you doing, man?
I am doing very good.
Love to
I'm
see
very
it.
Well. I'm very well, despite the biggest blowout loss the Niners have faced in a long time.
Yes.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a second and breaking down every single kind of position and really who stood out, who didn't stand out. But just, Nate, your overall initial reaction to watching the Niners get, frankly, spanked on the road against the Raiders.
So, I don't care. I mean, I think I'd be saying it either way, but you don't know unless that if the Niners blew out the Raiders. Kyle Shanahan hates preseason. Mm-hmm. Most people, I think, hate preseason. I've seen videos. I'm getting Instagram reels of like Raiders people just going in on the Niners and like videos of Niners fans being like taking their shirts off and being mad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, if you're there, like the videos were like in the stadium. And if you're there, it's emotional, whatever. Mm-hmm. Probably drunk too.
Yeah.
You know, it's Vegas.
Yeah.
It's just like, who cares? It's fun in the moment, maybe. But like, who? It doesn't matter. This O-line was, for the Niners, was like, when the best O-lineman was Feliciano, it's like, all right, we got a bit of an issue here. But I think you got to watch individuals, and a lot of the individuals didn't look very good, especially especially some prominent ones. But I'm not devastated by the loss. I'm more interested and worried about individual play.
Yeah,
but. Definitely had some standouts, but I'm fine. I don't care. I don't care.
It's just preseason. You got to calm it down. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Just got to take a step back, pump the brakes a little bit. It's week one of the preseason. You know.
Yeah, and it's one preseason game. Exactly. Yeah. It's one preseason game. So there's so much more that's going to happen, and whatever. Whatever.
Just got to dust it off, you know, dust off the shoulders a little bit, move on to the next one with Denver come rolling to town this weekend. Before we get to the next matchup, we got to obviously talk about the breakdown of who really stood out and who did it. And obviously topic number one is the quarterbacks, right, Nate?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It is.
It is number one is the quarterback.
Yes, it is.
Not only did Trey Lance play, but also Sam Darnold. And not only did they play, they got significant playing time. Trey Lance started and got the whole first half reps, and then Sam came in the second half and got most of those reps as well. And there were a lot of, I'll say this lightly, issues and also positives in a certain – there was a lot of weird things that happened in this game. But we'll start with Trey Lance first. He finished 10 for 15 with 112 passing yards, one touchdown, no picks, and 111 passer rating. And – when you hear about that on the surface, you go, hey, that's pretty good, actually, for preseason. That's not bad. Well, if you watch the game, there were some moments there that really were startling, to say the least, Nate.
Yeah, there were. And the biggest one to me, we're not going to touch on until the end. Mm-hmm. But so that's a little tease. Mm-hmm. We're talking general, not just quarterbacks, right?
Are we talking Trey Lance right now?
Okay, we'll talk. Yeah, specifically Trey Lance. Sorry, I was looking at Brandon Allen's stats because we got to get into him too.
Yeah,
Trey Lance looked bad despite the O-line. He like when he had time to make throws, it didn't matter. Like under pressure, he could not do anything. Mm-hmm. He could not. He would roll out and he had a few runs that were like, okay, you should do that because that's in your arsenal. Those are your tools.
Yeah,
but. I mean, obviously the big one, I'll bring it up, the touchdown pass. That wasn't a touchdown pass. That was. I was producing the morning show yesterday, and I had to cut the highlight and put it in our little folder so we could play it. And I put Trey Lance, horrible touchdown pass. And it's like, what even is that? And you have to watch the game to understand what that was. He threw it right into the DB's hands, and the DB double-tapped it into Ross Dwelly. Thank God Ross Dwelly was there. I bet Trey Lance – Trey Lance can buy him a house for that. Like, that's like looking at the stats, this was something too. Like, if you just look at the stat sheet, you go, oh my God, Trey Lance had a great game. I think 111 passer rating, right?
Yep.
And he, what? Oh, like 150 yards for a half, about that, a touchdown. Yeah. He did not throw an interception. So,
but he did.
But he basically, I mean, he didn't, but he did. And it was in the end zone, too. It's like his decision making is not there. I'm really falling off on Trey Lance. I know it's one preseason game. I know I'm contradicting myself, but he is just not, he hasn't played football. And we can't keep waiting on this Schrodinger's Lance situation where, like, we're not opening the box to see what he is. He's just, it's just not happening. And I think it's time we start to start the grieving period where it was a big mistake, but everything's worked out. We got Brock Purdy, and it's seemingly looks like he's going to be healthy. I think Trey needed to play football, and now I'm beginning to feel that it's too late, and I'm falling off having any hope for Trey Lance.
I'm just crying at the fact that you brought up Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
That's actually people who don't get that reference, Schrodinger's cat is a scientific theory where you can only presume if a cat is stuck in a box, it's either alive or dead. You don't know until you open the box. He's comparing that to Trey Lance's play in his, you know, lack of play over the years. So that just has me rolling right now that you brought up Schrodinger's cat. Well, well done, Nate. Everything you said in there was articulate and probably correct. Now,
that's UC Davis talking.
That's UC Davis talking right there. Go Aggies. but in terms of Trey Lance and that touchdown throw, I want to break it down a little bit more because it was a play action to his left. About 17 yards out, he sees Chris Conley streaking towards the back of the end zone. And there was actually a tight window. There was an opening there. The issue was that Trey double hitched a little bit. He hesitated to make that throw. If he just throws it initially on the roll, he probably hits him. But the issue is that he waited a second or two too long. And, excuse me, and Duke Shelley Jr., the corner for the Raiders, is able to read it, and he's able to hit it. Somehow, some way, it falls into Ross Dwelly's hands like 5 yards across the end zone, and Dwelly comes down with it for a touchdown. I'm watching on the television, and as a former Raider fan, I'm just befuddled because I don't quite understand. It's, again, the Raiders' luck, of course.
It's so difficult to comprehend in real time what was happening.
It really was. Like,
because the ball like disappeared, and then you hear touchdown, and you're like, what? What? Why does Ross Dwelly have the ball?
Even the Niners, when they posted the touchdown, it was touchdown question mark touchdown. Like they were even befuddled by the whole thing. I couldn't believe it. Now,
can't blame him.
I can't blame him. Now, Kyle's thoughts on the touchdown were very interesting yesterday on the conference call. He said, you know, it was scary, but I saw what Trey saw. He saw that opening. He saw it in there. And actually, he liked that he was aggressive. He liked that he wanted to throw that ball, you know, a little, you know, needle tight spiral into that pocket. He wants him to make those decisions where he just lets it rip, doesn't think about it. So while the play was almost a disaster, Kyle liked the process, which I guess is something, but that was on 9 times out of 10, that probably gets picked off, right?
Kyle is too nice to Trey Lance in the press conferences. Like, this happens all the time. I know what he's doing. He's covering for his guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it feels like to me. He's covering for his guy who doesn't have confidence. And like you said, he didn't make the throw with that, you know, he didn't make the throw at first, right? He hesitated. Yep. This is Trey Lance's thing. He doesn't play football enough. Brock Purdy has that confidence. He has the confidence to make that throw on that first read, right? On that first look. Like, he'll make that throw, even if it's a worse throw than Lance could make, or whatever. The confidence is like 90% of the game, it seems like, with Trey Lance. And he just straight up does not have it right now.
I also agree watching him. Well, I will say the confidence in practice was 100% there. In game was very much different. I saw a very nervous and anxious Trey Lance in that game in the first half. And it kind of just goes back to the first drive. I mean, they had 2 sacks on the first drive, 4 sacks total in the first half. Like, obviously, the offensive line wasn't great. It was downright bad. Like, good luck to the Niners offensive line. We'll get to that in a little bit about just, like, if they have an injury, uh-oh, because the backups really played poorly on
Sunday. To be fair, that was basically, from what I understand, everyone was a backup out there.
Correct.
And that's presumably not going to happen, knock on wood, with this team.
But the problem is that if the backup has to come in, which backup stood out to you? Feliciano? Was that it?
No, he didn't stand out to me. I think I said that he was our best O-lineman. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean it. I could be out there with a bunch of 5-year-olds and I'd be the best O-lineman out there. But it doesn't mean that I'm good. I'm not going to do anything.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, yeah, it was just an overall very rough showing for Trey Lance, who just didn't have any time. And when he did have some time, he didn't. This has been the biggest knock for me with Trey over the last couple of years. He doesn't know when to throw the football away. Like, yeah. He doesn't know how to give up on a play. He doesn't want to give up on a play. And sometimes that's a good thing when you're like, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, you know, that sort of art quarterback that can really extend plays. But Trey hasn't really shown the ability to be able to do that at a consistent rate. And so it's troubling even when he gets out of the pocket. I don't know if you noticed this. His speed doesn't look the same. Like, yeah, mobility wise.
You know, now that you mention it, sure. I know coming off that injury, it might be another confidence thing. It might be he might be playing a little scared coming off snapping his ankle.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could really comment on his speed. I don't know if I noticed anything. I was probably distracted by the fact that he couldn't throw the ball 8 yards accurately.
Look, he had that one throw to Chris Conley though, the middle in the second quarter. It was a good 15-yard completion. That was on target.
Okay.
There were at least 2 throws that were good.
That's not good.
I'm trying to benefit the doubt here for this guy, okay?
I know, and I don't not like him. It's just not working. It's not working because he's not playing football. The ceiling is there. The floor is not there.
The floor is all the way in the basement.
Yes.
Is the issue.
That is not good for a team that is going to win the Super Bowl this year.
No. But anyways, that's really it with Trey Lance. He'll see more action, you know, against Denver, but I don't know if he'll be the starter. I think he will play at least a quarter, but I don't know if he'll be the starter. I think Sam will get the start Saturday.
Yeah. Are we ready to move off of Trey to Sam?
I'm ready to talk some Sam Darnold. Some Sam Darnold football.
So, again, looking at the stats for Sam Darnold, I think he threw about 84 yards, no touchdowns, nothing like that. But I thought with that O-line, Sam Darnold looked like a clear-cut QB2. I thought he looked great. He's never had a team like this, or never had a coach like this. Never had, because he was playing with, you know, not the best of the NFL.
Yeah, the Panthers.
Well, I meant in week one, he was with the Niners. He was playing with, you know, guys who were trying to make fringe guys. And backups.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did extremely well with what he had. I thought he threw an incredibly tight spiral.
Yes.
The throw to – I kind of wanted to segue this, but I can't – it's hard because I have to mention it. The throw from basically his own end zone to Ronnie Bell, which was like a laser. It wasn't even like a soft throw. It was a laser, and Ronnie Bell caught it.
It was perfect.
Laid in. That was amazing. That was so good. I was so impressed with that play specifically. Sam Darnold, as of right now, is my QB2. I trust him more. He's played more. I trust him way more.
Isn't that interesting, though, how we went through this whole summer? You want to see Trey. You want Trey to be QB2. You want Trey to succeed. And after one game, preseason game, that is, Sam Darnold comes away looking like the clear-cut number 2 in terms of just overall production. But who knows how this is going to play out over the next 2 games? You don't really know. Sam could, you know, fall apart against the Broncos or fall apart against the Chargers. You never know, but – just off this small sample size, about a quarter play, he was 5 for 8, 84 yards, 97 passer rating. That throw to Bell was, in my opinion, the best throw of the day. Like, I was actually stunned at how good that throw was. And Sam, 100%. We mentioned previously, Matt Maiocco has mentioned that he is probably one of the best, like, talent the Niners have had at quarterback in a while in terms of, like, throwing talent. I kind of see it. Like, his ability to throw the football is really, really, really high. The issue is that can he learn Kyle's offense this quickly? That's really the issue for him.
Well, it's good he's had a full offseason. He wasn't like a midseason trade out of desperation or something like that.
Correct.
I think it's good that he's here. He clearly – I think Kyle could build an offense around him, especially with all the weapons. I think Sam is good enough, is smart enough to do that. And that's not a knock against Trey or anything like that, because Trey, I think, purely it's a confidence thing, as I've said 7 times today. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold, I think, should be the QB2 based on experience, based on whatever, you know, just what he's shown on the field. I'm really excited to see what he does in preseason. I hope he doesn't play a snap the entire season. I hope no one but Brock Purdy does.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm more comfortable with Sam Darnold 100%. I think the potential is there. The ceiling might not be as high compared to Trey Lance, but that floor is 50 times higher
right now. And that's kind of the Niners' whole thing, right, at quarterback, is they need consistency. They just need someone who can go in there. And, again, I hate to use the word game manager, but Sam Darnold can be a really good game manager for the Niners, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't. But game managers don't make throws like the one he made to Ronnie Bell. I think that's a step up. I think that's a step up.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't think game managers throw – it wasn't really a dangerous ball.
That's what the route called for. It was a go route to Ronnie Bell for 37 yards. It was Ronnie, beat your guy, and we're going to toss in the breadbasket.
And I understand it's preseason, so you're doing situational things. You're trying to kind of – okay, back to a corner. We're not trying to win or anything like that. So you make play calls that normally you wouldn't in a normal game. But backed up against his own end zone, kind of – I was second down, correct?
It wasn't
third down.
It was first – I think it was either second or first down because I believe the play prior was either a false start or something, because I know Sam threw a ball in the dirt. Actually, his first throw was a ball in like the dirt.
It was – I was impressed with Sam Darnold. I'll give him a B+.
Wow.
B. I take it back, a B, B, B. I'm about to say B. Your reaction pulled me down. Yeah.
He didn't throw a touchdown.
He didn't throw a touchdown, but he didn't get the play time I thought he'd get. He really only had a quarter. He almost had less because Shanahan said it was hard to pull out Trey Lance after the half because he wanted to see more from Trey, which, it's like I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah, look, it's really interesting because Sam's two drives he had in the quarter. There are only two drives in that quarter, I should mention, by the way. The first one ends on turnover on downs because they couldn't get the QB sneak right. And the second one ends after Cameron Latu fumble on the first play. So, which is
seemingly an issue with him.
Which we'll get to. We'll bring this up. I'm going to bring this up with Cameron. So they stalled out, yes, but even on that one drive that was turnover on downs, 9 plays, 69 yards, you know, they went from the SF-10 to the Vegas 31. That's, you know, in 5 minutes. That's not bad. That's not bad at all with the backup offense. So you might be right. Sam looks to me more in control of that offense in the first preseason game than Trey did. Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
And then we could briefly touch on Brandon Allen if you're ready for that. I don't have much to say. I'm not. I think
the I'm pick hearing, wasn't his fault. The pick was not his fault.
Sure, but I think people might be a little too, which is so silly to say. I think people might be a little too high on Brandon Allen. I mean, I'm getting Josh Johnson from him a little bit, bouncing around the league forever. Back up to Joe Burrow for the last 3 years. Which is cool. Good job there. But, like, I just, what I saw in training camp, I'm not impressed with him. I hope he doesn't see the field.
He shouldn't.
Really don't have much to say about Braydon Allen.
Look, he was, look, Brandon was all right. 5 for 8, 36 passing yards, 1 interception. That really was a, should have been a catch from Ronnie Bell, went through his hands. It is what it is. Not, that's not on Allen. He was okay. He was competent. You know, he's what you want out of a third string quarterback, right?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's hard to analyze. Yeah. I mean,
in most
he can throw the football. He can throw the football better than Josh Johnson, I guess. So I guess that's what. But he was fourth string.
Well, fourth string, the third string. It's, you know,
yeah.
Who knows if all four quarterbacks are going to be on this roster by the time this is over? We have no clue, honestly, because he's Trey Lance get traded, because he Brandon Allen get traded. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the point being is that, besides last season where the Niners used four different quarterbacks because they just had too many injuries, and you got starter caliber play out of the last pick in the draft on some miraculous stuff. Let's just call it what it is. Purdy was miraculous last year. For Brandon Allen, you can't compare apples. It's apples to oranges trying to compare him to, like, he's going to do that same thing as he was a third string quarterback. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Brock Purdy is like some Cinderella story stuff. It really is. So for Brandon Allen, just to be competent, move the ball a little bit, be on target, that's what you want to see for a third string quarterback, right?
Yeah, sure. I'm here for it. Here for that. I don't think we need to spend too much time on it.
We don't.
But so now, let's get into the guys that kind of stuck out. We've talked about him a bunch because he was all over, but Ronnie Bell.
Yes.
This is really the only guy that I was like super into this game. I know there were other players, Jameson was, he looks good, but Ronnie Bell, the catch from Darnold was amazing.
Yep.
Really, I thought the only, the jet sweep, yep, stuck out. He was just all over the field. He was great. And that's a Shanahan guy. The interception was bad, or the drop. It was a laser from Brandon Allen, and I just think the timing, he was not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through his hands, and it was basically a pick six. Down to the 3 or 2 yard line.
Whatever it was, yeah.
But, it, you know, rookie, it happens. But what I saw from him, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. He could slip into Ray-Ray's role potentially. But yeah, I think for him the direct competition is Danny Gray.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's who I really liked, really stuck out to me. I will definitely be watching him the entire time. Week 2 against Denver.
Yeah, I really had a lot of strong feelings about Ronnie Bell from training camp and what I saw in the practice field, because he's a gamer. And those guys, those gamers that just like to play football and like to just help their team win, those are Kyle Shanahan guys written all over him. That was the whole point with Ronnie Bell. The fact that he slipped to the 7th round was kind of a joke, in my opinion. He's a way better than the 7th round talent. Ronnie Bell, 6 targets, 3 receptions, 58 yards, leading the team in yards and receptions as well. You brought up that jet sweep, and this is the big thing with Ronnie Bell that's going to really stick out for a lot of guys. And it's why a lot of players like Brandon Ayuk, like Danny Gray, were in the doghouse their first year. They weren't physical enough as receivers. They weren't willing to run through people. They weren't willing to block. Ronnie Bell is willing to do all that stuff. He's a jack of all trades. He really is. And that's what I really like about Ronnie Bell, is that he's willing to do the dirty work for his offense to be successful. And Kyle's going to reward guys like that, because talent's one thing, but willingness and determination are two separate things for him.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him going forward. Who else stuck out to you that you got an eye on?
Well, in terms of the return game, DeShawn Jameson, I think, should be considered the team's punt returner, kick returner for the foreseeable future. I don't know what it is, but when he got the ball in open field, I was like, okay, this guy might get some yardage here. He just moves quicker than a lot of people do. Like, his first step, we talked about it at quarterback and him in coverage. But his first step, his agility is awesome. Like, he's very swift and quick and able to get through tight windows and find angles. And maybe that comes from his time at Texas, where he was, you know, a punt returner, kick returner as well. But Deshaun Jameson has really stood out to me this training camp and preseason, and I really hope he continues to improve because I'd love to see him have a roster spot this season.
I would too. I think he potentially will until week five against Dallas, when presumably Ray will be back.
Yes.
I think Ray has been too valuable to put his time in to just kind of get rid of him. I think he's shown not only on special teams, but in the offense, he can have his moments and do what he needs to do. So that'll be a little fun side storyline to keep an eye on, especially, you know, about a third into the season. So,
we'll see. Ray, they're expecting him to be out going into the regular season, but he told Kyle, don't count me out for week one.
Yeah.
Cause Ray's just that guy.
He had surgery on his wrist. So
broken wrist, like, at all. That dude doesn't care. He'll play.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. I don't want my kick returner with a broken wrist. I'll say that.
Yeah. Neither does Kyle. They're going to take the more team approach and keep him out until he's probably fully back from that wrist injury.
Yeah.
And he will be back. I would say probably though week three or week four is more likely for Ray this time.
I saw the prediction was five against Dallas. That was kind of the initial. Has that changed?
It's 6 to 8 weeks of the time period. 6 weeks would be week three, 8 weeks would be week five. I could see him being back week three, honestly. It's a broken wrist. Those heal relatively quicker than other things. And Ray especially is a gamer. He's gonna want to get out there. And if he can, if he's healthy, they will let him play. So
real quick, something I forgot to mention to you with the quarterbacks. Brock has been fully cleared as of yesterday.
Yes, he has.
Do you expect to see him in the preseason?
Maybe week three, not this week, no.
Week three, how much? A drive or two?
Yeah, a drive, a quarter at most.
Okay. All right. That's all I
want. The reason why I say a quarter is because he hasn't played since January and he's coming off of UCL surgery. Like, he needs to get game sharpness. And giving him only a drive isn't enough, in my opinion. Giving him a quarter actually is, because it lets him get into the flow of the game better.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But it won't be this week.
All right. Stan, I know we're kind of keeping it short this week. Are you happy with the standouts so we can get to this last thing that I'm a little emotional about?
We will in a second. I have one more guy we need to hit on.
Okay.
And I guess it's kind of two, because actually, you know, it is two. There's two guys, one on offense, one on defense. One of them is positive, one of them is negative. You want the positive or the negative first?
Let's go let's go negative and then positive, because then we're gonna go negative.
Okay, let's do that. So my only negative takeaway from the offense, besides obviously the offensive line's an issue, that's whatever the backups. Rookie tight end Cameron Latu.
A guy you were pretty high on in the draft. I remember.
I don't think you're reading it wrong there, but I was not high on Cameron Latu in the third round. I had him with a fifth round grade.
Okay, but all right. I am mixing something up.
He's an Alabama guy. He's Crimson Tide. Yeah. I like Crimson Tide. I like Alabama. So maybe there's that whole thing. I don't know. But Cameron Latu has struggled in practice, has struggled in the preseason and training camp. And his first NFL exhibition action, he struggled as well. You know, he's had ball security issues. He's had drops all of training camp. And what does he do on literally – the one catch he had the whole day, he fumbles it. He bobbles it at first to secure it, but then Raiders come in and do a joint tackle and hit it out of him before he hits his knee down. And it kills a drive. And guess what? They scored right off that drive. It's stuff like that is why you're not going to see the field on the Kyle Shanahan. Because he can't afford that. He can't afford mistakes like that in this offense. Kyle is a well-oiled machine that you got to go, go, go. Timing. And to kill a drive like that is not good, especially on the first play coming off where the Raiders were already up huge. And I don't know. I want to see Cam do well, but he's admitted himself that he's really struggling grasping the whole playbook and everything.
And that's kind of hard to believe coming out of a Nick Saban team.
Yeah.
It's like, how did this guy play for Alabama?
I know.
Maybe he's just having a tough transition, but I'm not super excited. I think Charlie and Ross are well ahead. Like, it's not even close.
In fact, I think Braden Willis, their seventh round tight end draft pick, is ahead of him, in my opinion. I think Braden's been shown very, very promising showings. He's much more physical. I think he's better. I think he's faster and he's better out of his breaks. And I don't know what it is with Brayton, but I kind of like him more in this offense than I do Cam. And it stinks because they pay such a high price for him. But
I am really starting to just not care about where someone was picked at all. Like, it just, yeah. Who cares? Cause I mean, giving up all that stuff for Trey is one thing. But if you pick guys that are good and it doesn't matter, I'm seeing Shanahan and Lynch do it all over the draft. So whatever.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see who comes out of the tight end. Cause for sure we know Kittle. Pretty sure, one of Dwelly or Warner is going to make it. And I'm pretty sure one of Brayden and Cam is going to make it. And I would bet on Warner or Dwelly, and I would bet on Willis right now to make it. Cam might be on the practice squad to start the year.
I'm convinced Ross Dwelly is the second.
I like Ross
Dwelly. Is number two. He's been around long enough. He's been consistent. I think he's a guy they really like.
They do.
I think Ross Dwelly will 100% be on the team.
Sacramento native as well, I should say. So
yeah. So. No bias.
Yeah, no.
I guess, man. Jair Brown looked good too. Yes, new corner. He looked good. They kind of stayed away from him, and I wonder if that's intentional. The Richard Sherman effect.
Going smack some fools, dude. Let me tell
you. Yeah, he looked good. So I'm high on him. We'll see. I don't.
Not How about the linebackers, though?
Like linebacker, yeah. Who's your
Jalen Graham? Yeah. Graham had a really good showing.
Okay,
and I think we need to bring him up and talk about him because Oren Burks is now out. He has a PCL sprain.
Mm-hmm.
He's now out for the rest of the preseason. Won't be ready till at least week one. That opens an opportunity for guys like Jalen Graham and D Winters, who are speed demons. I mean, those guys can fly on the field for linebacker. Yeah. Very good in sub linebacker coverage. One of those guys I could see being the fourth or third linebacker on the depth chart. I really could. I think they're very, very talented, and I think Marcelino McCray Ball hasn't done enough in these games yet in one game to say he is the third guy. And I just like what Jalen Graham offers. I mean, him and McCray Ball both tied for the most tackles. They had six combined tackles. But if you're going to look at these young guys, Jalen Graham and D Winters, while they're still very raw, you can see the talent there. And that's all they really want is a talent to just get the most, you know, diamond in the rough kind of thing out of these guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see more D Winters too.
Yeah.
But cool. So we ready for the,
I'm ready for this, Nate. I don't know what Nate's about to say. So I'm very interested.
I'd say the person who played the worst for the Niners was Jake Moody.
Wow.
I'm getting a little worried about Moody. His first kick barely went in, that extra point.
Oh, yeah, extra point.
The extra point barely went in. He missed two field goals. That's not good. That's not good for a kicker because preseason, like, it shouldn't be too much different from what I understand for a kicker, right? Shouldn't be from a live game. Like, I think if you're going to draw a comparison to how real the game will be for a player, I think it's the most real for a kicker, punter, because you got these guys just that are trying to make a team coming at you. They're playing as hard as they can, you know, whatever. Jake Moody, I am worried. I'm a little worried. It didn't look good. I know it was one game, but it's a bad first impression. And I think the Niners should make a call to a 40, 41-year-old guy who's doing nothing right now, whose last name is basically the color of our uniform.
Oh, wow. One of
the primary colors.
I wonder who that would be.
I don't know.
No clue. He only played for the team for 6 years.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to, like, say it's time for the tornado warning or whatever. But I am going to say it's incredibly concerning, and I even put it out on Twitter this during the game, that a guy who we all as media raved about in training camp, because he was making kicks, dude, from Alameda. Like, that's how far that dude kicked the ball.
Rich Eisen almost cried when he was drafted.
He was so happy.
Yeah.
He was so happy. And I questioned at the time to spend a third round pick on a kicker. I did. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. You can kickers you can get later on in the free agency, or you can get them later in the draft, in my opinion. But if it's a really special kicker, I kind of understand it, because the Niners need a clutch kicker. They need to have, you know, the next generation, a guy in Robbie Gould. As much as we love Robbie, he wanted $5 million a year, and the Niners couldn't afford that right now. So with Jake, it's concerning, but they're going to stick with him, in my opinion. They're not going to call anyone. But
not yet. Really,
the biggest one that shocked me was the 48-yarder. Because – or the 58-yarder, I apologize. Because he sliced that thing so far right that it literally went into the corner stands.
Dude.
It scared me, actually. Dude.
It's not it's one game. I get it. I'm overreacting. But it's something that, as a Niners fan, I've seen. Like, 1 year, Phil Dawson, I think it was 2014, he stopped making field goals. And a lot of that team's identity was winning by like 17 to 12. So yeah, it was low scoring games. So you needed those field goals. I know how important field goals are. I know fans know that. I know everyone knows how important they are to the game.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie, and I hope he's not shaken. I hope he takes this and transforms it and uses it as like positive energy.
Yeah.
And like goes to attack this problem. Cause I've seen him make field goals. I know, we're training camp. We're hearing great things about him. You're seeing it. I'm a little worried after preseason one, for sure. I'm not super stoked on
what's more. The last one I'm going to bring up about Jake Moody before we wrap this up is that what Josh McDaniels did was really unique. I don't know if you realize what McDaniels was doing with Moody. Whenever he went out for a kick.
Oh, he was icing him. Yeah. It was so weird.
He iced him. And it's preseason.
And the announcers were like, what the hell's going on? Like, why is he doing this?
Because it's preseason. Why are we icing kickers in preseason? Well, McDaniels wanted to test the rookie right away. And guess what? Both times he iced him, he missed it.
It's almost like Shanahan asked him to do that. It was so weird.
It was so weird. And what was weird about it is that now the book is out on him, is that if you ice him, he might miss it. They're going to keep doing that. I guarantee you Denver is going to ice him. Guaranteed Denver ices him at least once on Saturday. Guaranteed.
My argument against that is that they might want to use their timeouts for situational stuff to see what they have out of their backups. Not necessarily Russell the Rat Wilson, but like the backup quarterbacks that they're running, like just in their 2-minute offenses or whatever. But sure. I think if it's coming down to, you know, 30 seconds left and a half and they want to ice, they will.
What happened this week against the Raiders. Yeah. His first field goal was from 40 yards out and with like 7 seconds to go, and he shanks it left after getting iced. You don't think Sean Payton sees that? It's like, oh, there's a weakness. I'm going to use that against him.
Mm-hmm.
So now Jake has to go through the fire, and you got to hope he gets out unscathed. That's the reality here with Jake, is that he's going to get tested again in the preseason. And I hate to bring this up, but could this be another Roberto Aguayo situation?
That's what everyone's saying, yeah. It's a little scary.
That worries the heck out of me with Jake. And this is a guy who I was raving about in training camp. Couldn't believe it. He missed like two kicks all training camp. And then missed two literally in one game.
We'll see. I hope he kicks like 10. I hope Shanahan sets him up for like 10 field goals against Denver.
I want to see him succeed. I'm just worried.
I do too. Of course I want to. So bad. Oh my God. Yeah. That could be a huge issue. But
we'll see.
We'll look ahead to Denver. Games on Saturday, 5:30 PM. Mm-hmm. Both teams are 0-1. So that, you know, trying to get on track here in the preseason.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Ronnie Bell. I'm looking forward to seeing who starts at quarterback.
I'm looking forward to seeing the rookies get more action. I'm looking forward to as well seeing one of the Niners rookies that they drafted that hasn't practiced yet. Robert Beal is going to be at practice this week. could we see Robert Beal in the game? We'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see for sure.
I will be watching the O-line a lot more closely. That's something for me, at least when I'm watching the game, that it's easy to not pay attention to because there's so much else going on. And especially with the quarterback situation, it's hard to keep track of who's playing how well and everything. But now definitely my eyes will be locked on the O-line. They'll be locked on Jake Moody and obviously Trey Lance.
Yeah, that's exactly where my head's at. As well as the defensive line, I got to see who stands out there because the defensive line for the Niners had a poor showing against the Raiders, getting run up the middle a lot. Javon Kinlaw struggled a little bit. Guys like Kerry Hyder, Kevin Givens, they struggled as well week one. So I want to see how they bounce back and just a little more cohesion with that unit under Chris Kocurek. Would be nice to see out of the backup defensive rotation for sure.
Yeah, those are all guys, too, that are like plug-and-play situation. Like, those guys are made so much better by Bosa and by Eric Armstead. So it's a little different situation when they're kind of the leaders, when they're kind of the best ones out there. I would like to see. It was nice to see Cleveland Farrell get that sack.
Yes,
that was great. I think he's going to be on the team.
Yeah, you know who else stood out though on the other side of football? Who was a former 49er? Jordan Willis.
Yeah. No, and he was the same situation as like Hyder and he was the same kind of plug and play. Like he would make a big play every other game or so, you know, like he'd get in there and, you know, made significantly better by the talent around him. That's the guy I always liked, Jordan Willis.
Yeah, I was shocked they let him go. And it just goes to show that the Niners need to have that sort of production from one or two of their backups. They have to have that production for the defensive line. So that'll be interesting to see as well. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up here. For another episode of the Return of the Empire podcast. Again, Sacktown Sports, sacktownsports.com. Check out the website for all the articles covering the Niners, covering the Raiders, covering the Kings, of course, but home of the Kings and home of the Niners as well. Join it every single week by my guy, Nate Littlefield, the producer extraordinaire, as well myself, Emiliano Emil Fragoso, beat writer covering the team. We will be back next week with another episode recapping week two against Denver and then previewing the team's final preseason game against the Los Angeles Chargers coming up, not this Friday, but next. A tight window before they go on a break for 2 weeks, and then the main show starts. You're almost there, Nate.
I'm ready. I'm so ready, dude. I'm so ready. I just let's get Brock healthy. Let's get to Pittsburgh, and it sucks. Yeah, just win week one. Let's get off on a positive note against a bad team, a mediocre team. They're not that bad. They're mediocre.
Average. Yeah. Anyways, that's it for us. We'll be back next week. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a great one.